Welcome on to the Matchbook Betting Podcast, the show dedicated to bringing you betting insights to help you make smarter and more informed bets. I'm Emmett Kennedy, joined by Matchbook's big bet expert, Mr. Jesse May.
Good evening, Emmett.
We could have a repeat of that BBC interview where famously the child came running in as they were discussing North and South Korea. Is that going to happen today?
Yes, I've given my son Luca, I put him in charge of the bankroll for this week, so he may voice his opinion.
We are also joined by the founder of the Betting Emporium, Mr. Neil Channing.
Hello.
And from Betting Expert, it's the return of Mr. Stephen Harris.
Evening, lads.
We're going to preview the two FA Cup semi-finals this weekend with Mark Stitchcombe and Nigel Seeley a little bit later on the Matchbook Betting Podcast. But first up, let's employ the expertise of Neil and Stephen to try and crack the Scottish Grand National at Ayr, 3:55, live on ITV and Racing UK. Stephen Harris, what's your thinking on the big race of the weekend?
Well, it's at least 12-1 the field, Emmett, and it's one of those races, it's right at the end of the season, it's all a bit of an afterthought, a lot of them will be over the top, and I always think at this time of year, it's really about even money, whether horses turn up and give their running at all. So you don't really want to be getting involved with anything too short. The favourite for the race looks like being Premier Bond, who's a Nicky Henderson trained novice. He ran a blinder at the Cheltenham Festival. He's lightly raced. He's only had four runs over fences, winning twice. He's a sort of eye-catching horse in that he finished strongly into third in a huge field at Cheltenham, and he's sure to be popular. The only thing about him is he's never been beyond 3 mile 2, and believe it or not, Jesse, this is another one of those races over 4 miles that you can actually go and make yourself a cup of tea, come back, drink it, and probably pop downstairs for a biscuit, and only be halfway.
In terms of all the Grand Nationals, is this like best for last? I mean, has this been highly anticipated, the Scottish Grand National, or is the Welsh Grand National sort of the top of the tree?
Well, it's worth an awful lot of money. I think it's sponsored by a major bookmaker, but it's not a race. Whereas we have, there's the Sussex National, the Aintree Grand National, the Irish National, the Welsh National. This is right at the end of the season, and the ground tends to be a lot quicker. So, I mean, I always think it's a sort of bookmaker-friendly time of year.
It's quite funny because of that, like the Welsh National, which takes place around Christmas time at Chepstow and is always generally run on heavy ground, that has a kind of really established anti-post market. People start talking about the Welsh National when the weights come out, talk about it 2 weeks before. 2 weeks before this race, you know, we're talking about the Grand National. So what the hell do we care about the Scottish National? It hardly ever really gets talked about. I don't know if that's just an English-Scottish thing, but I can't remember ever really thinking about it more than about 3 days before the race.
Do you ever remember finding a very good value bet in it?
I can vaguely remember ever backing the winner in it. I must admit, sorry about that. I'm not going to go steaming into this race, to be honest with you.
There is one really interesting one that I'm very keen on. Again, not for massive stakes, but it's a Sue Smith trained horse. It's had six runs over fences called Vintage Clouds. Now, before we get into it, I have to put my hands up and confess that this is one of those horses. It's run six times over fences. It's yet to win, and I've been on five times.
Ooh.
Which perhaps without me than anything else. But it's a very useful hurdler. It jumps really soundly. It's just bumped into some very useful horses.
I would say, by the way, I've backed this horse as well. And, you know, just as a general thing on this race, you know, what you said is absolutely correct. The race is a bit of an afterthought. It's been a long old season. I think you are trying to find horses that haven't really had a long, hard season. You know, six runs is about the maximum you'd want them to have had, really, this year. I think if you can find something that, you know, maybe has had not too many runs this year and a little bit kind of not considered this year, that's the kind of horse I would look for.
Sounds like you might have found one of those. But before we get to you, Neil, let's wrap up Stephen's selection. So Vintage Clouds, this has been a cliff horse for you, but make the case.
Well, it's never gone beyond 3 mile 2. And I think it's one of the horses a bit tripless. It's a relentless galloper. We've talked about it earlier on in Matchbook Podcasts. And when it was a hurdler, it used to win in soft ground at Haydock over the fixed brush hurdles at a very, very high top-level handicaps. Over fences, it's not its jumping, although it has fallen twice. There's nothing wrong with its jumping. But it's really a front runner. And at 3 miles, it's not really quick enough to go the gallop with horses like Bristol Demay, Emmett, you know, top-class chasers. It's got into this handicap with 10 stone 9. It took a bit of a fall at Cheltenham when it was beaten, but it was not disgraced at all in a massive field. And I just think it's one of those horses. I'm hoping that Danny Cook will ride it. I've just watched him ride two winners tonight. We're recording this on Wednesday. I'm hoping he'll front run on it, be positive, and I think it'll grind them into the ground. And it's 16-1 at the moment. Her horses are flying, Sue Smith. It's completely unexposed over a real marathon trip. And I think it's got real standout claims. I'm quite confident if with luck in running, it'll go really close.
You sound very, very keen on this horse.
Yeah, I haven't heard Stephen this up on a horse for quite a while.
Yeah, and especially with the double figure price horse as well.
It could be the drink at this time of night. We're recording this in the evening, which is always dangerous. Never mix gambling and drinking. It's a very dangerous combination.
And that is betting expert Stephen Harris there giving his assessments of the Scottish Grand National. I think I've worked out which horse Neil Channing is going to go for, but I'm not going to steal his thunder. But I'm pretty certain I know who he's going to put up because he mentioned lightly raced horse. And this one has been fancied in big field handicaps before. And we know how much Neil Channing loves to get stuck into big field handicaps. Take it away, my friend. Who's going to win the Scottish Grand National?
Well, I'm almost kind of a bit loath to pawn up, really. It's not a race I'm going to get too carried away. The betting shape of the race is quite interesting, though. There's only four horses that are currently kind of 20-1 or under. Under 20-1. There's four horses around about 9, 10, 11, 12-1. And then everything else is 20-1 and upwards. And I would say on the day, those horses each way have a solid feel to them. There's a race last year that's very interesting at Cheltenham last year, the National Hunt Chase. Probably one of Jesse's favourites because it's 4 miles and it goes on forever. And that race had just incredible form. I don't know whether you remember it. Manila Rocco won the race.
Native River
second. Vicente was fifth. That went on to win the Scottish National. Verlion Rouge was up there. Mm-hmm. There was a whole bunch of horses all up there. I sort of quite like Vicente. You know, I mean, Paul Nicholls obviously is trying to win the Trainers' Championship. He's throwing the absolute kitchen sink at it. And I think Paul Nicholls' placing is really hard to argue with. You know, he's so good at finding the right races for these horses. And I just worry whether it might have a bit too much weight now. And it's not particularly well handicapped when you compare it to Southfield Royale, which is the Neil Mulholland horse in the race.
He did win the race last year and fell at the first in the Grand National, so at least he's coming
exactly,
in.
Exactly, which is why, you know, I was sort of saying about lightly raced horses.
Yeah.
So I kind of quite like those two, and I guess I could kind of like Southfield Royale, which, was in that National Hunt Chase last year, and it finished fourth. And then it's had a bit of a funny season, really. It didn't run very well first run, which was in the Sky Bet Chase at Doncaster. And then he was going to run in the Kim Muir, and it didn't really work out very much, you know, just too far out of his ground and then fell at the ninth, so just didn't really have a chance. So, it's pretty fresh. It's only run twice this season. It's running off 1.41, which is £6 less than it was at the start of the season, for two runs, one of which was a seasonal reappearance and one of which it fell. That seems like quite a lot to drop a horse for not really doing much wrong. I don't know. I'm a bit of a sucker for Neil Mulholland. Not that there's anything wrong with that. He's a brilliant trainer, and the stable are doing quite well. That might be my one, but I could like Stephen's one as well. I'm not. It's not a race I'm going to get too stuck into, really.
I, for one, am stunned. I'm absolutely stunned that you haven't put up a horse that I thought was just going to leap off the page at you.
Well, go on. I don't mind hearing it.
Well, he's 10 now. He's got a great record of placing in these big field handicaps, and he normally ends up going off favourite for them, and yet he's a double-figure price. Shotgun Paddy.
I didn't even think about that, really. I mean, you know, that is a bit of an old plodder. I do quite like it. I've kind of followed it a little bit over a cliff. Yeah, I mean, possibly.
My Emma Lavelle's still running well. Just coming back to Southfield Real, Neil, that you mentioned, that is a fascinating runner. His horses are flying. It wants good ground. I'm just looking back into the sort of back of the form book, i.e. on the computer. And the last time it had Noel Feely ride, it's been ridden by a £7 claimer twice this season. The last time Fahili rode it was at Christmas on Boxing Day in 2015, and it finished second in the Kato Star Novice Chase behind a horse that Emmett knows very well, T for Two. And the third horse there was Native River, so it's very, very good form. Obviously, you're looking back into the dusty form books, perhaps it's not relevant, but I mean, it is fantastic as well, handicap now on that form. And also, that race here, I'm looking at my notes, which I sort of try and make on every runner in every jumps race, and it lost about 10 lengths on the way round by jumping left. Well, obviously, that was at Kempton, which is a right-hand, quite sharp track on goodish ground. And now at Ayr, it's going left-handed. Perhaps they'll get a front-running ride or a positive ride from Fahili. You know, that must be a massive runner, Southfield Royale.
How are we going to work out the staking plan for this race, so?
That's got me interested, yeah. Do you think it might go off favourite then, Southfield Royale, or what?
Definitely could do. I mean, you know, it's laid out for the race as well, handicapped, the stable's in form. Yeah, I mean, it could do. It was quite a bit bigger yesterday, I think, though. I think it's like, what price is it on Matchball right now? About 11 to 1?
Yes.
So, I mean, you know, I think it was like 14, 16 yesterday. So there's been a bit of money for it already. That's not a terrible thing, and it's quite a small percentage difference. But, yeah, it might just put me off going real head down.
Well, should we go, how about sort of 2 points on Vintage Clouds and 1 point on Southfield Royale? And then
we should go a little heavier on the Vintage Clouds. You seem to make a good case for it. Three units, I'd say.
Have we had the bill through from the Bellagio, Jesse? Is this what this is about?
They said I spilled something on the rug. Vodka.
Jesse's having to shoot his way out of trouble on the podcast. This whole new day, dawn of a new era, sensible betting. We're going to be controlled.
Well, no. I mean, we've already listened. Three units would be 1.5. We've already cut our stake down in horse racing significantly. And I think Neil made a good case that in horse racing, you do sometimes find more value than in other times. This sounds like one of those times. Stephen's made a really nice case for the horse. Sounds like we should, you know.
10 points. 10 points.
Okay, so we're going with Southfield Royale, but the big one is going to be Sue Smith's horse, Vintage Clouds. The confident selection by the sounds of things.
That sounds great.
Lovely.
Sounds good to me, lads. That is the Scottish Grand National. 4 miles, to be technical about it, 3 miles, 7 furlongs, and 176 yards. Jesse, you will get at least 2 mugs of coffee in while this race is going on. 3:55 at Ayr on Saturday. It's live on ITV. Hopefully, we've cracked it for you. Enjoy it, lads. We'll chat to you again next week.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Football now on the Matchbook Betting Podcast, and it's the return of the FA Cup this weekend. To preview it, we are joined by the Betting Emporium's Nigel Seeley.
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thank God. Good to have you back on board as well.
Well, it's nice to be back. I mean, it's nice to hear you.
Listen, that was a nice win we had last weekend, the Manchester United against Chelsea game. Well, what'd you think of it? I'm just kind of curious because we were talking about the Mourinho factor, and then that seemed to be the story after the event.
Well, it wasn't my tip. It was actually Mark's tip. My tips were bloody rubbish.
Like, no, you were on Man United as well, weren't you?
Well, I fancied the under the goals, but I mean, it wasn't really my selection didn't do too good. I think, you know, when you look at that game, and I think the point that Mark made last week about, you know, no one wants to lose it, it's very important. Teams were defensively. It opens up the title, but you look at the running that Chelsea have got. They've got such an easy running.
Yeah.
I mean, we tipped up Chelsea to win it here on the podcast as well many months ago. I think it was 6-1, wasn't it? 6-1, something like that.
Got them an incredible price, yeah. Mm.
But, you know, they've got to run it. I mean, they could lose to Manchester United, give Mourinho a bit of confidence, give him a bit of a morale boost. But they're going to be like a racehorse, 10 lengths clear, easy enough, jumping over the last fence and win it by a length. And they are going to win it. Their fixture list is too good. But Tottenham, they're going to put the pressure on. I think they're the best team currently on form. But I think they'll have their day against Chelsea, but it won't be on the title race.
Okay, well, it could be this weekend then, Saturday. FA Cup semi-final taking place at 5:15. It's live on the telly as well. Let's first of all get the betting on Matchbook from Jesse.
It looks pretty wide open there. Chelsea, not even a favorite, really. They're both 9-5, Chelsea and Tottenham Hotspur. Take your pick in the 1/2. It looks like about a quarter, but it's totally even here. Totally even. The over-under is 2.25 goals, but the handicap is going to be the 0 handicap. Draw no bet.
On the back of the defeat at Old Trafford, Conte came out and said that Tottenham Hotspur are now the best team in the league. But obviously, Nigel, you're fairly confident, very confident, in fact, that Chelsea will land the bet for us and get the job done in the title. But this weekend, it sounds as though you're very much leaning towards their London rivals to get the job done.
Well, I mean, let's be honest with you. I think Tottenham have been the best team in the Premier League for the last two seasons. But the title is going to be won by Leicester last year, and it's going to be won by Chelsea this year, I think. But without doubt, Tottenham being the best team, they've got the best squad. I think they've got the best players. And I think they've got the best manager in the Premier League. I really, really do. But they're peaking just at the right time. And I think they would have learned a lot from last year. How they sort of capitulated towards the end of the campaign, how they dropped points, how they never got even come second. You know, Arsenal picked them for second. It's staggering, really. But I think they would have learned from that. And look at their record. They're unbeaten in the last 10 matches. 1-9, 1-8 on the spin. They've scored at least two goals in their last 10 games. They are absolutely flying at the moment. And they've done that without Harry Kane as well, bearing that in mind. And whereas Chelsea, to me, just seem to be stuttering a little bit. I know Hazard went missing last week. Costa hasn't scored for a while. I know they've won, well, they only won six of their last eight, but they've lost two games against Crystal Palace home and Manchester United last week. And I think Chelsea are worth taking on here. I know they have a fantastic record against Tottenham, and I know Tottenham last season went to Chelsea and completely blew it. I mean, not only did the players blow it, the manager blew it. It's the first time I've ever seen Pochettino lose the rag completely. He went on the pitch. The whole thing was just imploded at Stamford Bridge. But I think they're a young side. I think they learn from that. I think they take a lot of things from that game and from that terrible experience. I mean, you know, in life, when you have bad experiences, you learn from your bad experience. If you keep winning and keep winning and keep winning, you're a punter. You think you're untouchable. You need to hit some rocky bottoms to realise what is rife. And I think Tottenham are that kind of side. They're young enough to do it. And I fancy them. I really fancy them. I wouldn't be surprised if it might be a draw. I could see it being a draw. It could be a long game. Could be extra time and penalties, which isn't going to suit both sides.
I mean, this match is totally even. The draw, no bet is basically even money each of two.
Well, that's what I'm going to go for. I'm going to go for Tottenham on the draw, no bet, Jesse. I'm going to side with them. I think they really, to me, look a side now getting better, stronger. And I think if they can keep these players, what they've done in the last couple of seasons, I think they're a solid side. I mean, they don't need any signings. I think next season, I'm going to bat them to win the Premier League next season because they've done what Manchester United did many years ago before they won the title. They sort of came very close, blew it, come very close, lost it, and then they won one and they went on a roll. They don't need to bring in four or five players like other clubs. So Man City need to bring eight or nine players in. They've got their squad, and if they can keep those players, they're on. They've got a new stadium. There is something special going on at Tottenham at the moment, and I think they'll beat Chelsea. I really do, and I'm going to go. I'm going to bet with a little bit of caution. I'm going to go them on the draw no bet market. Take around about the even money, but I'm going with Tottenham here. I can't see Chelsea. I know they want to win the FA Cup, but their priority is to win that Premier League. Maintain their position. It's very, very important in the Premier League. And one thing I read today on Twitter, the last three years, the general election has been called Chelsea have won the Premier League title. And this will be the fourth time, I think, as well. But I think that's their priority, and I think they will get it.
One for the stats, boys. If there's a general election called, then it's got to be an
effect. I honestly think, do you know what I think, Emmett? I'm not being funny. I'm a man about town. I get involved. I've got an inn to 10 Downing Street. A very good in, and I know that Theresa May's had it large on Chelsea, because she's called it early to get paid out.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. That's what I've heard. That's my in, you know. But the Downing Street I've got the in to is in Warwickshire.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so basically what you're saying is Downing Street are wrong, it's going to be Tottenham Hotspur, and the draw no bet is the angle for you in the Emirates FA Cup semi-final
in
Saturday.
In this game, Tottenham win it, but the title long-term, Chelsea win.
5:15, that game on Saturday. We're joined by Mark Stitchcomb on the line. Welcome back, Mark.
Hi, Emmett.
Good to have you back on board. So, Mark, you've just heard a convincing case made by Nigel for Tottenham Hotspur in the draw-no-bet market this weekend in this game. What's your line of thinking?
My original thinking quite recently is there's been a lot of short-termism in the markets of late, and I'm not quite sure why, because a week ago, Chelsea were sort of 2.4 to win this game. And everyone's seen they didn't play very well against Man United, as we predicted last week. But to overreact to have them equal favourites now just seems ridiculous based on one match. There's obviously a reason that they are top of the league. I also think Tottenham are a little bit vulnerable against the bigger sides, especially under Pochettino. In their 15 trips to the current top six since he has been managing them, they've only won one game, and that was against Man City last April when they were sort of all out for the league. And obviously their record at Wembley is pretty dire. They've lost six of their eight games at Wembley, and they've only got one win, which is against a very poor CSKA in Moscow. And Tottenham are pretty much the same price as they were in January when these two teams met. And obviously they had home advantage of that game. So I just can't agree with the prices to where they are now. So I think Chelsea are a slight bit of value. So I'm not quite sure how we're going to do this because I quite like Chelsea draw no bet.
I think we may have to go for a swerve here from the charity point of view. But I think you both make good cases. I mean...
I think what it highlights is this game is a real like interesting game. Isn't it? It's a perfect one for traders on Matchbook. It's an absolute, you know, you ask the prices are even money. Someone's got an opinion. It's the biggest game of the weekend. The two top sides in the Premier League. I know they're playing well, Tottenham, and I know Chelsea are top of the league. But on current form, I think Tottenham are the better side. I know what Mark's saying about them not playing well against big sides, but I think Chelsea want to win the Premier League more than the FA Cup. And I think Tottenham will want to win the FA Cup because they know they can't probably win the Premier League. So for me, it's a bigger game for Tottenham. I think the market move will come for Tottenham. Whether it's the right move or not, that's up to the punters to make the decision. But it's a 50-50 game. It's great to have a difference of opinion rather than us both sitting here agreeing with something. I love it. I love it. I love that.
Absolutely.
But I think the massive need is for Tottenham here rather than Chelsea. Chelsea, no, they want to win the Premier League. Of course they want to win the FA Cup. It's still an important trophy. But will they put out a full-strength side with some important Premier League games? I think Tottenham will. I'm not sure whether Chelsea will. And that could be in the thinking. Hazard was awful last week. Whether he plays, I don't know. But... If Chelsea put out a full team side here and got two players injured, then it will be a catastrophe for them. So I'm happy with Tottenham. I think we should both make the decision, but both go against head to head, and whoever loses between the two of us puts 20 quid into the charity either way.
Well, we can't lose that.
That's music
into the pot. So the pot wins 20 quid, whatever happens. It's either from Mark Stitchcomb or Nigel Seagull.
That's music to Jesse May's ear. So, Jesse, you got to be the voice of reason here in charge of the betting bank.
Look, from the charity's point of view, I think we're going to swerve. I think that's fair. Yeah. Look, both guys have made good cases. You know, it's a long season. It's just one bet. We'll just give it a miss and see what happens.
Or we could both put it at 2.02 and just try to hit the two.
yeah, we could. That's true. Just trying to get our money back with the draw, could we? No, let's give it a swerve. Let's talk about that. Let's see if you guys agree on the next game. I mean, Mark was definitely had Chelsea right last weekend, but I think we'll go the swerve.
Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m. kickoff. We're back to London as Arsenal take on Manchester City. The betting on Matchbook, Jesse.
Wow, I didn't realize Man City were going to be such a big favorite away. 1.92 in the 1-by-2 with Arsenal getting a full quarter. Really, you get a half a goal there.
Welcome to the world of Arsenal Fan TV in a seriously under pressure Arsene Wenger back to London. They'll already know who their potential final opponents are because the first game obviously takes place on Saturday. But who will be making the final between Wenger and Guardiola? Let's start with you, Mark. What's your thinking on Arsenal Man City?
I think Arsenal are a huge price, personally. If you just look at the league table, they're fourth and sixth. Man City are playing an extra game, so there's not a lot between them. Both scored 63 goals. Arsenal conceded five more, but yeah, that's not really a lot there. Both of them this season have struggled against the top third of the league. So City have only won 2 of 11 and haven't kept a clean sheet, and Arsenal have only won 1 in 9. And if you go back to when City played Arsenal in December, again, going back to my point before about a bit of short-termism, Man City that day were 2.24. And again, that's with home advantage. So to be odds on in a neutral ground in the semi-final, just can't have it. I know Arsenal have struggled the last few weeks in that, but again, I just think that's too much short-termism. And because of the expected goals in this game is I think it's about 3.2 according to the market. Rather than take Arsenal on the handicap plus a quarter, I'd quite like to go all out on the straight win if possible, because of the sort of the variance with having more goals in the game, it's less likely to to involve the draw. And I think we could probably get Arsenal about 4.3. So if I'd quite like to back that if possible.
So Mark, explain to me again why you think that the 4.3 is a better bet than the even money or so on a handicap, just because of the variance in goals?
Yeah, I just think because of the higher goal expectation, the less likely there is to be the draw, hence the sort of bigger draw price. And I think this sort of bet, pretty much, I think Arsenal either will play well and win or they'll flop and lose. And I think long term, you're going to win this bet more than 1 in 4 back in Arsenal than you would if you back them sort of 2.3 plus a quarter. I just think, I know we're sort of going away a little bit from sort of the staking plan, but I just think the variance in the result here is so high that it's better, it will pay better in the long term to take the match odds. I'm not sure what Nigel thinks.
Well, let's find out, because you had opposing views. But are you on the same wavelength for the second semi-final?
No, we're opposing again. I'm Sealy Shortism. I know the price is right. It looks big about Arsenal, but have you been watching Arsenal recently? They're rubbish. I mean, I'm an Arsenal fan. I was a season ticket holder for many years, and they were so lucky to win against Middlesbrough. They didn't put in any performance. They walked around as though they won the Premier League title. The players said all the right things in the dressing room. It's clear there's huge, huge problems behind the closed doors there. Ozil doesn't want to be there. Sanchez doesn't want to be there. Oxlade-Chamberlain doesn't want to be there. I think that some of the games, some of the performances they put in have been shocking. I mean, the only wins they've had are against Middlesbrough, which was, we expect them to beat Middlesbrough. West Ham, when West Ham didn't turn up. Lincoln, Sutton United, Hull. I mean, these aren't Burnley. I mean, Swansea. You know, they've lost against some, hammered against Chelsea, hammered against Bayern Munich, hammered against Liverpool, hammered against Bayern Munich again. I couldn't back Arsenal. I mean, it looks on value, and Mark is a much more analytical punter than me, and that's why I like talking to Mark, because Mark comes on it with a very different angle to me. He's studied and he looks at variation and stuff like that, whereas I'm more a sort of typical punter who looks at emotion and things like that, but I honestly believe that Arsenal got big problems, and I honestly believe that Man City under Guardiola want to win a trophy. They desperately want to win it. He wants to win a trophy more than anything. I mean, it'll take an FA Cup win than finish third in the Premier League. I mean, they're going to make the Champions League. But I just think that Arsenal at the moment, I couldn't back them. Honestly, couldn't back them at 4.3. In hindsight, go back months ago and say, oh, they were 2.6 for the game and 2.8 for the game. But what's gone on in that club in the last 4 or 5 weeks? And I genuinely do know people within that club. There's turmoil in that dressing room. There's absolute turmoil. And I don't think Wenger has the players they could look in the eye and get the performance out of him anymore. I mean, wow. if he had the likes of Tony Adams, Patrick Vieira, Ray Parler, Pires, these kind of players, he would have got performance out of him. But this lot, they don't fancy him. And I think his day's a number. I think that it's very likely Wenger to get a result, but I can't see anything other than a Man City win. And I think they could win easy as well. I think they could win by 2 or 3. I really do.
So you think the Arsenal bunch of haircuts are going to get taken apart?
This is purely the if you come down from Mars and you landed on and you went on to an odds comparison site, and you saw the league table in the Premier League and saw Arsenal at 4.3, you'd turn around and say, I'm going to put 47 Zunizinis on it, whatever their currency is in miles. But the thing is, what you've been watching this Arsenal side in the last 3 years, you wouldn't back them with anyone's money.
Yeah.
I couldn't back that bunch of jokers with €1 or £1 of my money. They could turn it in. They go 1-0 down, they turn it in. There's no fight in that club. They look at the manager, no respect for him. Whereas Guardiola, I think his side now want to win a trophy. And I think they've got a great chance of beating us. And I think this would be quite embarrassing. So, again, I'm happy again. We've got another £20 each, and whoever loses puts it in the charity again for the pot. Look,
this doesn't have to be an ego match. You know, you have to have different opinions sometimes. I think you guys have both made interesting cases.
Yeah.
I mean, if I had to lean one way or the other, I feel like I'd lean with Mark on the Chelsea match and Nigel on the Arsenal match. But I think the best thing for us as a charity to do is just to swerve. You know, it happens sometimes. What can I say?
But it's also important, Jesse, to point out that particularly from you know, this is a betting podcast. Like, it is important to realize that there are times, and we've got two football experts here who have by far proven their worth over the season and have had us in clover on several weekends. And when you've got two strong minds who are on opposing sides in both games, it tells you something. As much as you might want to put your hand in your pocket, as much as you might want to log on to Matchbook, there are times where sometimes you're just better off to just take a swerve, sit back and watch the game and keep the powder dry for next weekend.
I was very, very close to tipping Hull to beat Watford, though. So if you want to have a punt, that back Hull to beat Watford in the Premier League.
5 units win, yeah?
You win a 7-all and hold on. No, but listen, do you know what? I've done millions of these kind of things. I actually do like it when people disagree. I know it sounds silly. People log on and want to listen to opinions and bets. But I like it when two people do disagree, because I think you can see the logic between the two. Mark is absolutely right. Arsenal at 4.3 is a massive price. When you look at it, if you're looking at for the price and value, Arsenal are the value. I'm looking at it, and what I've seen from that Arsenal team, knowing that team, knowing how they play, there's something not right. And I even though it does look appealing to me, I just cannot see him, Wenger, getting a performance from that players. And I just think Guardiola will have his number in this game.
Okay,
that's my opinion. But I love it that we agree to disagree.
Let there be peace. Let there be calm. And it can be a weekend where we sit back and watch. If you choose to go with Mark, you know what he wants to do. He wants to go with the win bet on Arsenal. If you choose to go with Nigel, he's going to be confident of a Man City victory. Brought together by their shared views on maximising expected value, Matchbook have partnered with Reg, raising for effective giving. They're the charity of choice for many professional poker players, and they use science and rational decision-making to maximise expected value when helping to reduce suffering in the world. So we were very generously given a £1,000 betting account by Matchbook at the start of the season. The current standing, Jesse May, is...
It's at 853, and you know, I think we've only got about 5 weeks left before we're going to wrap this up for the season and give the bankroll to Reg Charity, then start again next season. So we've got 5 weeks to get ourselves back over 1,000. I'd say we're underdogs, but we've got a shot.
Keep the faith, Jesse. Keep the faith.
But anyway, look, we're going to keep up our smart or try and keep our smart betting tactics going. And this week is going to be mostly a swerve. We couldn't find consensus on the football, so we'll just stick to our two grand national bets. So we're going to go 3 units on Vintage Clouds and 1 unit on Southfield Royale.
Sounds good to me. We've got 5 weeks to make a profit for the charity, and hopefully we will. Matchbook Betting Podcast will take a break for the summer. I presume we're going to do some specials, Jesse. We've got we've got Goodwood, which is going to be huge for Matchbook to talk about in the horse race.
We're going to keep going. Obviously, we're going to keep the content going, but with a charity bankroll, we have to call it an end of the season and start over again.
Sounds good. And hopefully, we'll be giving a nice chunk of money to the charity towards the end of the season. My thanks to Stephen Harris and to Neil Channing for taking care of the Scottish Grand National for us, to Mark Stitchcombe and to Nigel Seeley for their insight for the FA Cup this weekend, and as always to my partner in crime, Mr. Jesse May.
Thanks, Evan. Have a good weekend.
And I hope you have a good weekend too, and thank you very much for listening to the show. We hope you enjoyed it. We're back again on Thursday with a new edition of the Matchbook Betting Podcast. Have a great weekend. God bless.